Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages on the subject, Focus on the Family. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1, as we take a look in the book.
Our men. And it's good to see so many men present this morning in the house of the Lord. It's even good to see those that serving this morning wearing black this morning. You know, black is a symbol of honor. You know, one of the ways that we honor the dead when we go to funerals is by wearing black. Because that's a symbol of honor. It's also a symbol of how we honor the living by wearing black. On grand occasions, we often wear black in order to honor those who have attained great accomplishments. We often go to fancy banquets when somebody is going to receive an award. At that award banquet, we are wear black in order to honor those that are receiving an award. Here, even at the church, on first Sundays, we wear black in order to honor our Lord when we have Lord's Supper. But sometimes you just want to wear black. Somebody may ask you, why are you pulling out your black? You ought to tell them, because I just feel like I want to wear black to honor even myself. Every now and then, you ought to show that you are a person of honor by wearing black, by dressing up on the outside. But God is looking for some men that will not only dress up on the outside, God is looking for some men that will dress up on the inside. That's what God is looking for, and that's really what I want to talk about and focus on. I want to talk about men's of honor. Men's of honor that are dressed up inside out. That's a man of honor, and that's the kind of man that God is looking for. That's the kind of man that God want to use. God want to use a man that's dressed up inside out. God is looking for a man that he can work in that man and work through that man, that he can change his generation and even the next generation to come. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about a man of honor. God is looking for a few good men. Men of honor. Men that can be part of the solution rather than being part of the problem. Because you're either going to be part of the problem or you're going to be part of the solution. Y'all gonna go with me, I'm gonna have to go by myself. See, God is looking for some men that is willing to step out and change sides. Oh, yeah, and you got to change sides. Because when we are born in this world, we are shaped in the image of Adam. Then you read right here in your Bible, the Bible says how Adam had a son called Seth in his after his image. See, man, the original man, Adam, was made in the image of Almighty God. He was made in the image and the likeness of God. But when Adam sinned, Adam became a sinful man. Now, when man is born, he's born in a sinful image of sinful Adam. And he has to be born again. In other words, he has to have a new birth. He has to change sides. He has to come from the devil's side and come on the God's side. Oh, see, when we come into this world, we are already on the devil's side. See, the devil is after our men's. Oh, that's why when you go to almost any church today, you'll see more women's than you see men's, because the devil is after our men's. And the devil got a lot of men's in his grips. He already got a lot of men's. And these men, we got to pray for them that they can break the grip of Satan and become born again and change sides. Come on, Jesus' side. And you know, changing sides is a choice. You have to make a choice whether or not you're going to be a man of dishonor and stay over there with Satan. Are you going to be a man of honor and come on over there with God? Oh, that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about being a man of honor. You know, Genesis chapter 5 is a chapter about men of honor. It's a chapter about the godly line of Seth as opposed to the ungodly line of Cain. On last week in Genesis chapter 4, you'll read about the ungodly line of Cain. But we find in Genesis chapter 5 that God is writing a book on Adam, and Adam had some godly children in a godly line. And so that's what we got here in Genesis chapter 5. We got an honor roll of some godly men. As a matter of fact, what you have in Genesis chapter 5, you have God is going to take 10 godly men and going to hold back the evil that's in the world. Oh, and that's what I'm talking about when I talk about men of honor. But what do a man of honor look like? Glad you asked. Can I give you three things this morning? What a man of honor look like. First of all, a man of honor is a man that works for God. A man of honor works for God. When you look at this text here, you see that Adam had another son named Seth. And this time, Adam worked a lot harder in making sure that he trained up his children in the way that they should go. You are aware what the work is. Your job assignment means is to train up children in the way that they should go, that you can change your generation and generations to come. Oh, that's the assignment. Just in case somebody wasn't here a few Sundays ago, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28, the Bible says, 27, 28, it says, so God created man in his own image of God, created he him, male and female, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. In other words, man is created to be a ruler for God. And it starts right there at your house. It starts right there at your house. Man, God has given you the authority to rule your family for God. Start right there. It starts right there. And notice when you look at Genesis chapter 5, look, the Bible says here that verse number 6, and Seth lived 105 years, and he begat Enosh. He had a son, and he trained up his son in the way that he should go. And look at verse number 9, and Enosh lived 90 years and begat Cana, and he trained up Cana in the way that he should go. And look at verse number 12. And Cana lived 70 years, and he begat Mahalalel. And notice, he trained up him in the way that he should go. Look at verse number 15. And Mahalalel, he lived 65 years, and he begat Jared. And notice, he trained up Jared in the way that he should go. Look at verse number 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and then he begat Enoch. And we can go on and on and on. But that's your job assignment, man. Your job assignment is to pump the Bible into your children. Your job assignment is to train them in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. That's the assignment. So in other words, your assignment then is to focus on the family. See, when you look at Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5, you'll see two chapters in contrast. Genesis 4 focuses on the ungodly line of Cain. Genesis 5 focuses on the godly line of Seth. Chapter 4 focuses on being successful. Chapter 5 focuses on being faithful. Chapter 4 focuses on one's occupation. Chapter 5 focuses on one's vocation. In other words, chapter 4 focuses on your job that you use to make some money. But chapter 5 focuses on your vocation, which is your calling. And your calling is all about saving people. And it starts with saving your family, that they can save their family, and they can save the next family, and you keep on saving. In other words, it's all about preserving mankind on the planet. That's what it's all about. So when you leave home in the morning, mister, to go to your job, you're going to your part-time job. And when you return home, you're coming back to your full-time job. See, I worked for years. I worked for 10 years out there at Frito-Lay. Sometime I was on first shift. Sometime I was on second shift. Sometime I was on third shift. But whether I was on first shift, second shift, or third shift, whenever I punched that clock out there at Frito-Lay, I left Frito-Lay, my part-time job, and now I got to punch in when I get home on my full-time job. See, one of the reasons that we got so many men that are successful at work but failures at home is because they don't know where the job is really at. They don't know what their job assignment is. That's not your job assignment, working there at Frito-Lay. That's just getting you some bus fare. That's just getting you some money to keep a roof over your head. But your real job assignment is to make sure that the devil don't keep your children. You got to break your children away from the devil because the devil got them when they come here. That's why the Bible talk about you got to get the rod out sometime and you got to kind of give them a little spanking to drive the devil out of that heart because the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction. All right. drive it far from him. And so that's your job assignment. Your job assignment, we need to be focusing on the family. It's your job assignment. See, the Bible says that children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Have you ever tried to go get you a bow and arrow and shoot a bow and arrow? It takes a certain amount of skill. I ain't talking about a playborn arrow where you go out there and get a lit switch and, you know, you get a lit a rope there and then a string and try to make use some bow and arrow with six. I'm talking about a real bow and arrow. Well, I'm talking about what they do in archery and stuff. I can recall when I was working for TGNY, I went back there where they were selling those bow and arrows. And I said, I always wanted me one of these bow and arrows. And I got me one of them bow and arrows. And I got it, and I couldn't move it. I said, man, this thing is tight. Somebody done tightened this thing up here. Boy, you can't even pull it back. And he said, no, you never shot one? I said, no. He said, it takes skill. He said, let me show you. And so my boss, he got the bow and arrow, and he said, see, you have to stand a certain way when you're going to shoot this thing. Then he pulled it up. He said, you got to hold it out. Got to make sure your arm here is locked in. You got to make sure it's locked. You can't have it limber. It's got to be locked in. He says, and then you get your bow, your little arrow, and then you hold it a certain way. I said, you got to hold it a certain way, and you position it a certain way here. He says, then you pull this bow back with one strong pull. You have to pull it back. And he said, then you take your aim where you want it, and then he says you release it. He said, try it out. I got it. Got my lit stand. Pulled it up. Got my lit arm tight. I had to pull it back as hard as I could. It took a lot of skill to do that. That's how it is when you are trying to train children. See, Daddy, that's the most important job you have. It's vision casting. It's taking just like that bow and arrow and getting your child pointed in the right direction before you release them. Being able to point them, get them pointed, because see, they may want to go in this direction, but you know God wants them to go over here. And it's going to take some skill to get them pointed back in the right direction. Matter of fact, they may be wanting to be released early in life, but you got to be able to pull them back. You can't let them go too soon. Yeah, and you can't even hold them. You can't even hold them too tight because you'll smother them. But you can't hold them too loose unless you lose them. So it's going to take a skill to even know how to hold on to them. And see, this world is after our children. This world is calling your children. You got ungodly teachers that don't share your values. They want your children. You got ungodly coaches that don't share your value, want your children. You got ungodly people in various different organizations and stuff. They're calling your children. And you got to be a strong man. You got to take your stand, and you got to hold them back. You can't let them go, even though they're screaming and hollering to go over there. You know what's best, Daddy. You got to take your stand and hold them back. Sometimes even the wife get in the way of what God is up to. Sometimes the wife can take that little 12-year-old and she try to dress her up and make her up, and she look like she are a 20-year-old, and the mama is ready to send her on out there. But Daddy, you got to take your stand and you got to pull her back. Sometimes The little boy, 13, he want to go play with the big boys, and he want to hang out with the big boys. 19, 21 years old, and he's ripping and running, and he's ready to get out there. But you know he ain't ready to get out there. He can't be hanging out with them big boys, because big boys are doing some stuff that little boys don't need to be doing. Matter of fact, the big boys are doing some stuff that even big boys don't need to be doing. And you got to be able to pull him back and hold him back. And then you got to be able to point them in the right direction. And then you got to know when to release them. Now, you won't find what age it is to release them. Don't be fooled by what the world say. And don't be so tempted to just get rid of the kids. Oh, you 18 now. You done got your diploma. Now you gone out there in the world. They ain't ready yet. The average child ain't ready at 18. He been playing Nintendo. Fifteen of them years. He ain't even held down a part-time job. You got to speak vision casting in your children. That child may say, listen, I'm dropping out of school in the 10th grade. Daddy, you got to say, no, you're not. You're going to graduate from high school. You may come home and they say, I already done dropped out of school and stuff. They say, that's all right. They got GEDs. You're going to get you a GED before I release you. You're going to at least have you some paperwork before I release you. You have to look at one child and say, now you going to college. But you going to trade school. Yeah, you good with your hands, boy. You're going to use your hands to make some money. But you're going to use your head, sister, to make some money. And you other over here, I ain't releasing you until you married, sister. So you got to know what each and every one of them children is, and you got to be able to point them in the right direction, the way that God has already shaped them and bent them. You got to be able to point them in that direction, and then you release them. A person may argue with you. Sometimes your family members, they don't understand what you're trying to do. Sometimes your family members, your other sisters and brothers, they say, I think you're too hard on the children. Sometimes the wife man may say, I think you're too hard on the children. You got to let them know, listen, we're not trying to raise no weeds. We're trying to raise warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Weeds, you just let weeds run wild. But a warrior takes training. And he's being trained to be a warrior, because when that child is being released, you are releasing them to start another family. And if you have released them in the wrong direction, or if you release them too soon, then what you just did, you just sentenced them to a life of hard time in the next generation. And then it may affect the next generation. And then it may affect the next generation. All because you made a mistake. Bread of life, listening sometimes to the cry. Down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.